Morning.
Good to see you guys. I go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. That's this microphone right here. If you haven't seen it, I look like Garth Brooks or Britney Spears, depending upon, you know, which way you want to go. But in the first service, I was talking about this. In fact, I'll just explain it to you. You don't really care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. For some reason, I think the FCC or somebody decided to like claim the signals that our mics used, and the mic that I always uses. And so, for you know, it's probably some kind of scam they got with like microphone companies or something going on. So we got to buy a new microphone. Which actually, this piece stays the same again. You don't really care, but it's the thing in the back. And so we got some adapter that we're still lacking to have. We've got the other piece, and so I don't have my regular mic. So you know, today you've got a little bit of, you know, this whole like sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. You know what I'm talking about. And I'll do this one for you too. You know, if I had known I was going to use this today, I would have found a hat. And oh man, they got these things on here. There we go. I would have found a hat, and I would have given you one of these. You know what I'm talking about? See, that was totally not that great of a response to my Garth Brooks. I'm really upset. The first service really enjoyed it. In fact, I had to calm them down. Probably because you've actually been spending some time with the Lord, and I have too. And I got to tell you, this has been one of those weeks. I'm sure you can say the same thing about your life, maybe about your job, depending upon what you do. You have some weeks that are just, I don't know, I won't say easy, but there's just not as much stuff going on. And then you have weeks where it's just like, and this has been one of those, you know, it's blowing up weeks. And just a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people. And I just got to tell you, I told the first service this, and this is totally, totally real. I'm struggling right now just with dealing with all of the things that are going on in so many people's lives. And I covet your prayers, you know, for me to do this. My heart is in this. I'm excited about this morning and what we're talking about. But even before we get anything, this is just a great example of the type of things, not that this is really even on the same spectrum of even the other things that I've been privy of knowledge to this week, but just backstage a minute ago, somebody handed me this note, and I want to share with you, and then I want us to pray about it. This lady's name is Penny Riley. I don't know if you know Penny or not, but Penny comes to our church some. She lives right back here in the subdivision that's kind of back here behind the village, behind our church or whatever, as a neighbor to some of you. And her son, Gabe, who is 21, was killed in Afghanistan last night. And so we need to pray for her and for her family. We take so much for granted. And part of even just this week, what I've seen is just people that are sacrificing for this cause. And we have a lot of men and women that are doing that. In fact, we've got some ladies that are here. We've got men overseas. We've got whatever that are sacrificing right now. And so I want to lift all of you up in prayer that are sacrificing in those ways. I'm going to ask somebody else, if you would, just to stand and pray for us. I can't hardly see who's here and who's not here. Joey, if you wouldn't mind, would you just pray for us and pray for Miss Riley and her family and those that are sacrificing? Thank you. This morning we're continuing this series on Hosea. And if you have not been with us through the other parts of this series, I really cannot encourage you enough to go back and listen to the podcast of this stuff. And I can't really give you all the backstory because it's just the time and all that. And I really want to get through this passage today. But today we're looking at Hosea chapter 6. If you have a Bible with you, go ahead and get it out. I'm encouraging you to bring your Bibles. Please bring them, use them. Hosea 6 is where we're starting that today. And today we're talking about love. And you know, we talk about love a lot, and I think that's because that's of huge importance to understanding who we are, what the gospel is about. I think that it's a huge importance to understand who God is, because God is love. So granted, if God is love and we're here to worship God, then one of the things that we're going to talk about on a regular basis would be love. And so, you know, just to kind of even kind of recap, you know, just the mission statement of our church even, you know, that we would love God, love people, and live gospel. And so, you know, this whole idea of us loving God, I think, is very huge. And I think it's very important for us to get that and to, you know, grab a hold of that. And we're going to be talking about that for a few minutes today. And you know, I think about how everything in this world is changing. In fact, you know, the thought of that you can move just about anything. In fact, I've got a friend, pastor friend of mine that, he lives in Robertson County in a house, and it's a nice house, and this house used to sit across from the Jolton McDonald's, as crazy as that is. And it used to just sit there. I never did understand why this house is just always over there. It was vacant or something. I still don't remember the story now, but you know, basically, at some point along the way, they put the house up for sale, but they didn't want the house to stay there. They wanted somebody to move the house. And so he bought the house, got a, you know, some kind of great deal, whatever, and moved, had the house moved to his property. It's crazy. Moving houses. People move houses. People move machinery. You know, I back in my early ministry days and even some in high school, I worked at a machine shop. And some of you here in our church do this type of work. And, you know, I would work on these huge machines. They're just so massive. I mean, they're so massive that they are cutting and making other huge, massive steel things. And just the even thought of, like, you know, moving one of these machines around is just crazy. But I knew a guy that owned a company that all they did was move machinery like that. It's crazy. You know, we live in a world where, you know, everything is movable and changeable. You know, and I think for us, you know, when it comes to love, it becomes one of those things that like everything else in this world, we get in our heads that it's okay for love to be changing and movable. And the truth is that Scripture has some things to say about that, and it is that way. But Scripture shows us some things about who we are called to be with our love and who God is with His love. And this morning I want to talk about some of those things. This morning we're talking about a steadfast love. If you got your Bible, chapter 6 of the book of Hosea, it starts out like this. By the way, Keith did an awesome job this past week. We are so very fortunate to have that dude, pastor of disaster that he is. And I'm so thankful that he shared. He actually shared the first three verses of this chapter as part of his message, and we're going to recap a little bit of that. So check out chapter 6, verse 1. Here we go. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us that He may heal us. He has struck us down, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us, and on the third day, He will raise us up that we may live before Him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. Are you catching that? I think that's important. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with blood, as robbers lie in wait for a man. So the priests band together. They murder on the way to Shechem. they commit villainy. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's whoredom is there. Israel is defiled. For you also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed when I restore the fortunes of my people. I think for us to read through that, to begin to understand, you know, God is continuing the indictment here that we talked about even just a few weeks ago. And you know, as God needs to do this, I don't know about you, but I kind of need, every once in a while, I need somebody to like call me out on stuff. And I have people around me in my life that are willing to do that. And I have to be willing to hear from them. I have to know that they're people that, you know, love me with the love of the Lord, that they will be honest with me and they will tell me things that I need to know. And with God, you know, oftentimes he does that for us. You know, he's constantly doing that for us. Let's just face it. The Holy Spirit in our lives is convicting our hearts of sin. That is God constantly and consistently trying to show us more and more about who he wants us to be. And so for us to understand that God, you know, wants to show us those things, understanding that this passage of Scripture is the continuing of God doing that as he's been doing it in chapters earlier. It's an indictment. And he's talking of their sin and speaking about things that they have done. If you look at this passage, if you look at verse 3 says this, "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth." You know, what is that? What's that talking about? It's talking about God being consistent. It's about talking about how God is consistently doing his thing. You know, I don't know if you know about this, but you know, God is never changing. God is always the same. And for us to understand that, for us to remember that, for us to remember that and get that his love for us is never changing is such a huge, huge thing. Such a huge thing. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers of the spring rains that water the earth. The showers that come in spring always come in the spring. Rain keeps coming. Maybe not in certain places. But overall, rain keeps coming. It's consistent. You know it's going to happen. You can't stop it. And the same goes for who God is. And it starts this verse off, and this is Hosea himself, you know, he's talking here. He says, "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord." And he's encouraging, he's saying, "Look, everybody, let's do this. Let's know the Lord, let's know God. Let's press on to know him." And when Aaron and I first started dating, you know, we just couldn't get enough of hanging out together. I can't tell you how many miles we put on my car and how much gas we burned up just driving around talking, because we were broke to do everything else, I guess, because we were spending it all on the gas and the car. But we rode around, we couldn't get enough of finding out more about each other and just learning more and more about who that person was. So drawn to that. God desires that in us. He desires for us to know him in the same ways. Desires for us to get to know him more, just more deeply and deeply, that we would know him more and more and more and more. And the thing is you know, go, "Well, Chris, I'm doing what I can. I'm going to church and I'm, you know, in a Bible study and all stuff." That's good. That's good. Here's the thing. Are we getting to know God? Are you knowing God more for what you're doing? First off, you know, if you're someplace that's not teaching the Word of God, you're not going to get to know God more. You know, and this is a huge mistake that's made by a lot of churches, especially younger churches. You know, a lot of them like us, you know, and I have a lot of questions from people outside and other, you know, in the church world, whatever, about, you know, what do we teach and what is our church like? I'm sure you get some of this stuff too, because, you know, everybody thinks we're a cult because we just went with the number of the exit and the interstate, you know, and it's not for hours in the day or, you know, the show or whatever. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I get asked these questions, and I know why I get asked these questions. I get asked these questions because there's a ton of churches that are building and basing everything on, like, emotion and feeling. And it's all about, let's try to create a moment. Let's try to get everybody into the moment. You know, and then that's when the guy will, like, run out and go, you know, hey, you know, now that, you know, God is speaking to your heart, you know, let him speak through your wallet, you know, and get all cheesy and crazy and try to get you to give their credit card or something. You know, the thing is that God is interested in us having a relationship with him. And that happens through knowing him, and we know him through his word. We know him through spending time with him in prayer. We know him more as we've grown in some of those things. Then we can begin to know him more through serving him. This is tough for us. Verse 4 goes on. This is the beginning of the indictment happening again here. It says, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like a dew that goes early away." God is calling out Israel's love for him. He's saying to them, he's like, hey, guys, I know you got some love for me, but I got issue with it. And this is it. You say you love me, but then, like, the next thing that comes along that, you know, catches your, you know, attraction and, you know, it's the new shiny thing or whatever, next thing I know, you're not loving me anymore, you're loving it. And this is in comparison to God's love, which is going out as sure as the dawn, which happens every single day. And that he will come to us as the showers. And therein lies this, you know, love that we begin to see, and we begin to see the difference between our sinful hearts and God's pure heart. If you will, we've got this heart over here, and it's got the big A, and that could go a million different ways. I'm going to kind of go with the anarchy thing because, you know, typically when I think about my heart versus God's heart, my heart is rebellious. It's very much in that vein. It's sinful, so you could go, if you want to go adultery with it, you could do that too. You know, but then, and then you've got God's heart over here, and God's heart is just, you know, it's complete and it's pure, and his love is everlasting, whereas our love is conditional. And that's what God's saying right here. And he's saying your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. He's saying it doesn't last. It doesn't last. God's love lasts, and it's real, and it's never ending, and it's unchanging. It's all those things that he is. Verse 5, it says this. It says, therefore, I have hewn them up, hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. Now think about this passage, think about this verse, and I look at this verse, and what really, really just like comes out at me as I'm looking at this verse is this, and my judgment goes forth as the light. You see that? It's like this, it's this moving, it's this, this is happening. My judgment goes forth as the light. And you think about it, you think about, you know, as we attempt to do our very best to walk in God's will for our life, to walk in his word, to walk in his truth. We are walking in the light. And as we do that, we have purpose. We have meaning. We're bringing glory to God, which is the reason we exist, by the way. But then what happens is along the way, our love, you know, where, you know, we think in our heads sometimes that our love looks like this over here, and it's like, you know, oh yeah, I'm on fire for the Lord, and I'm just going, you know, we hadn't missed church in a year, and you know, and it's all, you know, and it's just all about, you know, it ends up, if you're paying attention, it ends up being about a checklist of stuff. Like the things I've done for God, so to speak. And you know, we're just like, oh yeah, I'm just all the way. And then something happens, and the next thing we know, we're walking out of the light into judgment. And God does this. You know, he shows us this for us to understand that his light, that his judgment is meant for our good. And it's meant for his glory, that as long as we walk in the light, as long as we walk seeking after his love, then he will be glorified. Verse 6 says this. This is important. Verse 6 says this, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Are you hearing that? That's God speaking. That's God telling us what he's looking for, what he would love to see from us. You think about like a person that you really care for, and they got a big birthday coming up or something, and you're thinking, you know what, we really need to get him something that he would really like. I don't know about you, but I really want to give God something that he would really like. And you see, this in lies part of the issue. And Keith touched on this last week. We've talked about it earlier in the series. But this in lies the issue that we have as men who want to earn things. We want to earn things, right? We're in this world, we earn, you know, you earn what you got and you work for what you've got. And, you know, and that's a noble thing. And hard work is a good thing. But it drives us crazy sometimes to think that we can't earn some of the things that God wants to give us. The main thing being his love through his son dying on the cross for our sin. We can't earn that. And so we begin making, you know, our Christian walk about this to-do list of things. We've talked about this. These sacrifices, as you will. But what God is saying here, if you look at this, verse 6, "For I desire steadfast love." I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. He's the knowledge of God. He desires steadfast love and the knowledge of God. He desires true love from us, and he desires us getting to know him more. If you look at our church mission statement, love God, love people, live gospel, there's a reason why the first thing is first. Love God is first. You know why? Because if we don't love God, we can't do any of the rest of it. I don't know if you knew this or not. This is, you know, maybe groundbreaking for somebody. This is good stuff. Loving God allows us to love people. He said, "Chris, how in the world does that work?" Here's how it happens. This is how we start. Looking all like the nasty heart over here, okay? We got nasty heart syndrome going on. And our nasty heart syndrome over here is just the human nature that we have. It's our sinfulness. It's all of those nasty things about us. But the truth is that as we begin to love God and spend time with him more and more and more, as we begin to love God more and more, our heart begins to look more and more like his. But here's the thing. We can't just choose to just go, "Well, I'm just going to love God." Okay. Say, "Chris, what do you mean?" Here's how it happens. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. We respond to that and have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. That means that we start a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship. Remember me talking about my relationship with me and Erin? We first started dating, wanted to get to know her, you know, more and more and all this stuff. You know, same thing. We begin to know Christ more and more through starting a relationship with Him. Receiving Him as our Savior equals out to, you know, us just letting go and trying to give in to you know, and just go with whatever God would have for us in our life. And see, so the truth is we can't get from there to there by ourselves. We need the cross. Jesus is the intercessor. Jesus is the only way for us to get from there to there. But once we're over here, once we have begun a relationship with God and we begin to know Him more, just automatically, we're going to want to do things that would glorify Him. Say, Chris, I'm terrible at loving people. Love God, love people, live gospel. Remember the statement? I'm terrible at loving people. Me too. You go, Chris, you're a pastor. Yeah, I know. I'm cynical, though. And I'm human. But here's what happens. The more I know God, the more I spend time with Him, the more I know what fills His heart or breaks His heart, the more I begin to love people, the more my heart begins to break for people that are going through things. Just is why it's been a tough week for me. I've watched other people deal with very hard things this week. We can love people because we love God. We can't love people if we don't love God. Say, Chris, that sounds kind of crazy. I don't know if I really believe that. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, if you've got your Bible. 1 John chapter 4 talks about God and love. We studied this passage back earlier in the series, touched on it maybe even a couple of times, but I got to hit it again. Because I think it's important. I think it's important for us understanding who God is and what we've been called to do. But 1 John, very end of your Bible here, right before Revelation and Jude and all that good stuff. 1 John 4, verse 7 says this. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see that? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. See, we can't say, oh, I'm a believer. I've got my good church attendance, been, you know, granddaddy was a preacher, all this stuff. You see, without Jesus, we can't love. With Jesus, we can love. Why? Because God is love. So for us to say that we love God, but us to say that we don't love people, and by the way, when I say, I'm talking about like how we really act. I'm not just talking about us talking about it, because talk is worthless a lot of times. Actions, faith, that's what we're looking at here. We can't say that we love God and then treat people like junk. Act like we don't care. Oh, you going through that? Well, that's tough. Catch you later. What? Moments like that in our lives are gospel moments for us to get to love people like God has loved us. And you go, well, Chris, these people have done me wrong. Yeah, they will. Haven't we done God wrong? Do we deserve forgiveness? Do we deserve His grace and mercy? Absolutely not. But yet God offers it in the most pure love that's imaginable. And when we know Christ as our Savior and we begin to pursue Him, our heart begins to change from this nasty, filthy thing. And it begins to look more and more like God. And so then what happens is we're not checking off a checklist of things to do that make us look holy. And we're not thinking about what we're looking like as far as like, you know, I've got pretty church face today. But then back here on Wednesday, I'm in my closet and I'm the real me. And I'm doing the sin that I really like to do that nobody really knows about. And this is the real me over here. But, you know, I come out for fake me on Sunday. It's worthless. It's the sacrifices and burnt offerings that God is saying, I'm not interested in them. I want your love and I want you to know me. This passage in 1 John goes on. Verse 9, I just want to read through it real quickly. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world that he might live through him. In this is love. Catch that? I love that. In this is love. Not that we have loved, but God, not that we have loved, but God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to pay the ransom for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And I don't know about you, but I've been looking for a lot of perfect things in this world and I haven't found any. I'm looking for a whole lot of stuff. You know, it's, you know, everybody wants the perfect thing. Everything I collect and everything I'm into, I know that like the perfect one of those is the one that brings the big money. It's the one that everybody would love to have. But the truth is there's hardly ever a perfect anything. And when I read something that says to me that God's love is perfected in me, that tells me that must be the deal. And that's what happened on the cross. That's what happened when I received Christ as my Savior. When he saved me, he perfected his love in me. He did something in me that no one could take away. No one. You say, well, Chris, I don't know if I really believe that I couldn't lose it, that I couldn't lose God's love. Let me show you how sure I am that you can't lose God's love. God's love is unconditional, if you didn't know. Romans 8, verse 39 says this. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. How do I know? Because it says it. And it's God's word. It's not mine. Nothing can take it away. God is love. His love is steadfast. It is true. It is unmoving. It is unshakable. And it's unconditional. Someone asked me in the first service after the service, they said, Chris, I'm really struggling with dealing with forgiving someone in my life right now. How in the world can I possibly forgive them? What they did to me has hurt me so badly. It happened years ago. What do I do with it? You know what I told them? I said, you have to start with Jesus. Kind of looked at me. I said, every time that I come into context where I find myself holding a grudge, where I find myself not forgiving someone for something that they have done against me, I remember what Jesus has done for me, and I remember how many times I have trampled on him and sinned against him and broken his heart, but yet still the blood on the cross was shed even for me, the biggest of sinners. It has to start there. Which is why it's so important for us to continue in knowing God. And as we continue to know God, He begins to fill us with His desires. Our heart begins to look like His, and we begin to do His work, and He begins to work through us, and all of a sudden we're living a life that is glorifying to Him. And people are going, I don't know how in the world you're doing things like forgiving people that, you know, have done you wrong, and you're just going, it's Jesus. And you know what that's doing? It's showing them that He is real in your life. He's not some Sunday morning happy face thing. He's the real deal. He has changed you. And they're going to want it. And God is going to use it to speak to their hearts for them to want it. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to them. Gospel moments. Chip Ingram wrote this book. It's a great book, by the way, Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships. And he's quoted in this book as defining love as this. He says that giving love is giving someone what they deserve the least when they need it the most. Giving someone what they deserve the least when they need it the most. I don't know about you, but that's me up and down. And that's what God has done for me. And that's what God has done for you. If you go back to this passage in Hosea, verse 7, it goes on after we've looked at, you know, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. In other words, God doesn't want our empty sacrifices. He wants our heart. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to know Him. Verse 7, it goes on, it says this, but like Adam, they transgressed the covenant and they dealt faithlessly with me. And I think it's important for us just to make note of this, and we mentioned this also earlier in the series, but to make note of just an understanding that when Adam and Eve broke the covenant with God, when they broke the law, when they broke what they had going with God at that moment in time, it proved that we can't do it by ourselves. It proved that we need Jesus. And we do. We need Jesus now. We need salvation now. We need it tomorrow. We need it the next day. We need it next week. We need it next month. Because without it, what is our love? What is our loyalty? As you go on in this passage, it goes on to talk about Gilead, verse 8. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with blood, as robbers lie in wait for a man. So the priests band together. They murder on the way to Shechem. They commit villainy. It's talking about God's just straight up calling out even the priests doing this stuff. Committing these terrible, horrible, heinous things. Verse 10, in the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's whoredom is there. Israel is defiled. For you also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed, and when I restore the fortunes of my people. And I read that and I just think, you know, we don't want to hear that stuff sometimes. We don't want somebody to call us out. We don't want somebody to show us, you know, what's really going on with our life. But the truth is, and we see Paul pointing to this and how important it is that we need to be honest with ourselves. On a daily basis, we need to be honest with ourselves about who we really are and what's really going on in our lives. And we need to begin asking ourselves the hard questions about, you know, what's going on with my love for God? Is my love movable? Is my love, you know, conditional based upon, you know, like what's going on right now and whether it's convenient to do His will at the moment? Or is my love steadfast? You know, if God was having a birthday party, He's already told us what He wants. Verse 6 says it, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And he's saying, know me and love me. And when we do that, he changes us, because God is love. And if we know God, then we will love and we will be love. Romans 5:8 says this, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I just have to remind myself of that almost daily, that while we were still sinners, God shows his love for us through sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. And this morning, maybe you're here and maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've gone to church a lot, but you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never been to church in your life and you're not even sure what it means to know Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a journey and it's a relationship. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen in your life. It's the most freeing thing that will ever happen in your life. Because it is the only thing that sets us free from our sin and gives us the ability to have freedom in Christ. This morning, if you want to know Christ as your Savior, I would love to talk to you about that. There are other people that would love to talk to you about that. And when I go off stage in a minute and the band's playing or whatever, we'll be back in that corner just waiting for somebody, waiting for whoever. And if God is speaking to your heart like I was talking about earlier, don't ignore what God is saying to your heart. We're not promised tomorrow. If God is speaking to your heart today, act on it today. Let God change your life. Let today be the day of your salvation. This past week, my family and I went to one of my favorite restaurants. It's downtown Nashville, and I went to college in Nashville, and so this is actually a place that I've gone to since I was in college. And I have several of these little joints that I like to go eat at downtown that, you know, my family and I love to go eat. And went to this place, and we went in the door and were standing there, and this place is, you know, forever and a day old, and, you know, it's the kind of classy joint where you go in and they've got like the old school like pull cigarette machine right inside the front door right there. You probably don't even know where another one of those is. And I'm thinking myself, I thought these were illegal and maybe this just got grandfathered in or something. I'm not real sure. But they still have one of these things. And so I'm leaned up against the cigarette machine and we're having to wait, and there's some people in front of us, and, you know, 10 minutes goes by and the people that were in front of us have been seated, and so we're next. And it's, you know, me and my girls and Aaron and Josh Gibson, who's interning with us for the summer. He's the other intern, not the Fudge Dragon, but the other one. And it was Josh's birthday, so we were buying him dinner for his birthday, and had a couple other people coming to join us. And we were waiting on a couple other people, but we were, you know, interested in going ahead and sitting down, as you can imagine, with two little girls and all that goes along with that. So we've been standing there for about 10, maybe 15 minutes, and in walks another family. And they come in, and, you know, nice family, they seem to be whatever, they got a lot of kids. And the guy says, how many do you guys have? And she said, well, we have 8. And he said, okay. And he looked at us and he said, how many do you guys have? And we said, oh, we've got 7. And he said, oh, okay. He said, are you all here? And we said, no, we're waiting on 2, but they'll be here in the next couple of minutes. They're right around the corner. And so then he looks at the other lady and says, and so you have 8? And she said, yeah. And she said, and he said, are you, and you're all here, right? And she said, well, no, we've still got a couple that are coming. And he said, but all your kids, they know what they want to eat? And she had a bunch of kids, by the way. It was kind of a weird question to ask. But anyway, and she was like, I guess so. And he said, well, okay, we're just going to go ahead and seat you guys. And he looked at us and said, you guys just wait. We're going to go ahead and seat this family. That's okay, right? Whew. And we watched this family begin to be seated. And I looked at my bunch and I just said, let's go. And we turned around and started walking out. And I could tell the lady felt bad. It wasn't her fault. She didn't do anything to, you know, make this happen or whatever. But the lady that was with the family, and she turned and looks at me and says, hey, we didn't mean to take your table. You guys can have it. And I said, no, it's okay. And I just, without even thinking, I was just like, I've been coming here for 15 years and we've been waiting for 15 minutes and apparently neither matters. Of course, I said it loud enough that the guy could hear me, who's also the owner, and I've talked to him many times. And I loved eating at this place. They have the best milkshakes made with the old school metal things. You know what I'm talking about? And they got the best hamburgers. I mean, Jimmy Buffett wrote a song about one of their hamburgers. Literally. I mean, it's just a great joint. I even like their spaghetti. And that's a big deal. And as much as I loved that place, at least for that moment, I can't speak for all the rest of history yet, but at least for that moment, my love changed for that place. And I got to tell you that I'm glad that Jesus' love does not change for me. Because if it were up to me, I would have already ruined it so many times. There's no way that his blood would have covered me on the cross. And today, you may be sitting here thinking, you know, I've done some terrible things in my life. There's no way that God wants to love me. And I'm here as a messenger from God to tell you that the blood covers all, but you have to receive it. And if God is speaking to your heart today, listen to what he's saying. Go talk with someone and find out what it's like to live in freedom with Christ. God's love is unconditional. God's love is real. It's true, it's steadfast, it's unmoving. And if we know God, we know love because God is love. This morning, what's that look like? What's your heart look like today? Where are you between here and there today? Let God change your love. Let's pray together. God, I pray, Lord, that we really would love you. I know that almost sounds silly to say, but God, I just pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be the fake ones. God, I pray, Lord, that no one would. God, but for us that are here right now, God, I pray that our hearts would be committed to you, that our love would be as steadfast, that it wouldn't be like some dew that goes away when the sun comes out. God, it's not you, it's us. God, you're pursuing us. You're coming out every day like the dawn. God, and all we've got to do is just receive you. God, you want a relationship with us. You want us to know you, and you want our steadfast love. God, it says, you say to us, God, that you desire it. God, I pray, Lord, that we would seek loving you that way. God, I pray this morning for the one that doesn't know you. God, I have a feeling that there's a bunch here that don't know you. But God, I'm praying for every one of them. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to their heart and that you would encourage them to run towards you. God, that they would seek you like you seek us. Lord, may our love be as unconditional as yours, not just for you, but for others. God, for those of us that are struggling with forgiveness, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to overcome it and that, God, when we do, that, God, you would get the glory because it's through Jesus that we can have that kind of forgiveness. It's through remembering that we have broken his heart time and time again. broken your heart time and time again, but yet you still loved us while we were still sinners. You saved us and you showed us what love is. God, may we do that too. Use us for the glory of your kingdom. In your name I pray.